She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 241, Don't Let Fear Get in the Way of Living Big Dreams with Amanda Franz. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Maybe you have a passion and maybe it started out as a side hustle and leaped into a full-time gig, and you have had fears taking the leap, and you probably have just as many fears continuing your journey. I know I have, and still to this day. And it's courage that allows us to work through those fears and staying true to our passion and why we started. We may find ourselves asking ourselves questions of how do I stay organized? What do I need to know about digital? And how do people find my business online? Where do I look to stay inspired? How can my business and I be big? Today's guest, Amanda Franz, addresses these fears. Amanda is the founder, creative director, and owner of Wide Eyes Paper Co. Boutique. And in this podcast episode, we are talking about how to stand out in the digital world, acquire systems that keep the creative brain focused, understand why passion and success coexist, and how to see the importance of a community, along with know what managing inventory and cash flow looks like with a product-based business. Girl, have you snagged your ticket yet to the largest gathering of motivated female entrepreneurs? Holla, I'm talking about the two-day She Did It Her Way Summit happening in Chicago, all about helping you create a profitable business in the digital age. And during the 2 days, we'll hear from Ashlyn Carter, the ladies behind Think Creative Collective, Emily and Abigail, Maya Elias, and many more. We are covering topics from writing copy that converts, how to build an easy email funnel in 5 steps, how to plan your best week every week, and so much more. We're kicking off Wednesday evening, April 25th, with a mini celebration, followed by 2 jam-packed full days, including a co-working session on Thursday evening, and wrapping up Friday with a closing celebration in River North, followed by an after-after party after dinner. Ticket options include a VIP, a general admission, and a virtual pass. VIP ticket option gives you front row seat access at the event, but also my favorite part is the 4-week accelerator post the summit, where you have 2 calls every week, one with me and one with one of the speakers from the summit. So you get exclusive access to these speakers. They are Ashlyn, they are Think Creative Collective, Shauna Van Bogart, and Jocelyn Pearson. Find out more on the website at shedidithersummit.com. Also, there's a general admission and the virtual pass, like I mentioned. Snag your ticket before March 15th when early bird goes away. Don't delay. And friend, I hope to see you there. It is going to be an amazing 2 days taking place in Chicago.
Okie doke.
Yay. You guys, we are sitting down with another Amanda, which is such a great name. I might be a little biased. Amanda Franz, who is the founder and creative director, owner of Wide Eyes Paper Co. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Amanda. Also great name. Here we go.
Yeah. Friends. No, I love it. Well, why don't you kick us off and tell us a little bit about what is Wide Eyes Paper Co., and then we'll dive into how you formed it, created it, dive into the business logistics, all that good stuff.
Yeah, awesome. So I started Wide Eyes Paper Company in 2012, and it's a boutique stationery brand and design studio. We specialize in really custom wedding stationery and offer a variety of different printing methods, letterpress, wood engrave, foil, kind of the sky's the limit. We really specialize in innovation and kind of setting ourselves apart in a super saturated stationery market.
Yeah. So take us back before that. What were you doing prior to it, and what did the transition look like for you?
Yeah, so I got my B of A in graphic design at Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego. And shortly after, I got a design job, just a small business owner and I, for an action sports design company. And I was kind of just like figuring out what else I could do. I was just wanting to make some side money, and so I started an Etsy shop. And just I heard of a friend that created wedding invites on Etsy in college, and I was like, huh, like that could be a fun creative outlet for me. Like totally not thinking I'd ever have a business, and just was doing it for fun. And so I started designing wedding invites, just making up the designs and photographing myself in my parents' backyard. And then throwing it up on Etsy, and like within like 3 to 5 months, I started getting a lot of sales and started making more money than I was at my day job. And so I was like 22 at the
Oh
time,
my
and I was like,
gosh.
I was like, Mom, Dad, like, what should I do? And they're like, Quit, you can always get a design job. If it doesn't work out, like, you might as well just kind of take the momentum and run with it. And so my dad, super sweet, took me to the bank. I opened up like the business bank account, and I was like, All right, here I go. Just like working out of my old bedroom from high school.
That's so crazy. And how many years ago was that?
So that I always like I'm bad at counting years. It was I so I started it like January 2012. So I'm going on 7 years now. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, so it just I mean, it was a shock to me. I was like not prepared. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, but I was super into it and super passionate about it. And so it just kind of, continued on from there once I started pursuing it full time.
Well, so now, I mean, you touched on it a little bit too, where now in the digital age, this is there. How do you stand out with a product like the product that you have? What have you found? Actually, before diving into that, let's start with now you've been in business for 7 years. What has been some of the like milestone moments that have really stood out to you as a business owner over the course of 7 years?
Yeah, milestones. I think for me, when I got my first office space was like a huge like step in like the right direction for me. Just I didn't feel like I was so small anymore. Like I was like, all right, like I like need to go to an office, and I got to design it out and felt it, like it motivated me because you had to pay the rent, of course, but it just motivated me to like do more, to bigger, to dream more, and like think that I don't need to be small. Like I can grow my business to look like whatever I want it to look like. I think starting your business in the first place and having the courage and the guts to try something new like that and go on that adventure with yourself is gutsy enough. So like if you can do that, like I have to tell myself like, hey, you can do anything. Obviously I don't always believe that, but I sure as heck try to motivate myself.
Right. I feel like that's half the battle with entrepreneurship. How has your business changed since you first launched it to what it is now, if it has changed?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. So I started out solo, and over the years I've hired a few different illustrators that work for me. Now I have like a team of four. I have another business manager who kind of helps me handle my day-to-day operations, processing orders, kind of getting me on task, because I'm like the creative brain that likes to do a bunch of random things that really aren't that important sometimes.
I'm
And
sure
so
I think we can all relate to that.
yeah, I'm like, I think I'll go water some plants now. And she's like, actually, you should probably design this. So like, you're probably right. Yeah, so it's changed in the sense of I now have a team, which is awesome because I really believe in sticking with what you're good at and hiring people and outsourcing to do the rest. And I really, really strongly believe in collaboration, and that's how I run my business, especially with working with clients. I can't stress it enough to them that I really want it to be a collaborative experience. So we're creating something together, because wedding, it's super personal, and people really, really care about their wedding day, obviously. And I try to like showcase that like I really do care as well, which is the truth. So, yeah.
How do you then, how does it, you mentioned, like I said before, What are ways that you continue to grow your company in today's digital world and standing out when it is what some could say or feel like maybe a saturated market, but like how do you take your product and set it apart from other people's products?
So first off, I was on Etsy for I think 3 or 4 years and just solely ran my business off Etsy. And I think the launch of my website and the time I took to design it out, it took like 2 years. I also moved in the process and like, I changed the whole look of the site for like after the first year. Anyways, it was a little bit of a drawn out process, but I ended up getting the website and designing it out to exactly what my vision was. And I hired a company called Second Street Creative that worked with me as well on creating the look and feel and coding of the site. But I think my website, like I have a very ma more of a masculine style. Like I don't like pinks and purples and those kind. I like more earth tones and organic. And I think for me that my style, just being more masculine, appeals to feminine and masculine. Lots of energy. I was gonna say energy. I'm like it's both male and female, basically. And just kind of having my own personal style that I feel stands out in the market. And creating like I get bored really easily. So like I'll look at my website and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick of looking at this. And so I'll change it up. I'll get sick of looking at my same like invitation sets and I'm like, I'm so bored like of these styles. So I'm almost forced to design something new or think of a new concept. And so I think that's how I stay like current and different in the digital market, if I had to say.
How do you find people? What have you learned in terms of how people find your business online? Is it coming through publications, or do you do organic? Is it through organic search, or does it come through any sort of advertising that maybe you guys do for your business?
So I know Pinterest is a big one, and so that's obviously something I take note of. I have a lot of clients that tell me that, they're on Pinterest and they find me. Also just like on wedding websites, I've been featured a lot. So like, Style Me Pretty just did a big feature, and usually they don't highlight the station first. They'll highlight like a couple, like the photo of the couple, but this time they highlighted the stationery, and so that was huge. And that weekend I got like a lot of inquiries, which was really cool. So just like, yeah, being connected in the on the wedding websites, the big ones, and hopefully like crossing your fingers for features, is a definitely a good marketing tool.
What's it?
Instagram, like Instagram, I think that's another big one that I'm learning. People are finding me through there, which is crazy. Now, Instagram is like everyone's on there.
Good old Graham, right? So how do you, I'm super curious then when it comes to a product-based business where you're at, what does it look like to manage inventory and cash flow with this product-based business that also includes manual labor?
Yeah, so I love being creative, but I also have learned that I love like being a businesswoman. I'm like, I love numbers. I have a CPA. That's like one of the biggest things I'd recommend. It's not a waste of money. It's like such a great investment. Every month we go over my profit and loss. Where could I cut costs? Like, how's the cash flow? Like, what's going on behind the curtains? Like, to understand the financials of your business is so important. And I'm learning, like, I'm actually saving money by having someone that knows what they're doing, like, look at my books, look at everything. And so we talk every month on like, strategy and do I need to raise my prices? Am I good where I'm at? Like, what are my goals? And so that's been something that's been really helpful, as far as just kind of feeling like I have more you I feel like I have more control of my over my business when I understand money in, money out and that concept. And then as far as like managing clients and orders and all that, I use Asana, which is an amazing tool. I don't know, have you heard of it?
Oh yeah, no, we're definitely plugged right into Asana, and I'm obsessed. I'm also obsessed with, this is a plug for Megan Mins, but she's like an operation systems like guru, or I don't even know what to say, but she's really good at that stuff and she can break it down. And she has a online course called Asana HQ, and it's like $97, but it is so worth the investment because she shows you like how to set up Asana as your headquarters, including like if you want to blur the lines between life and then also business. It's been amazing, like amazing. So yeah, total
Yeah.
big fan, massive fan of Asana.
Oh my gosh, it's like a lifesaver. Like I used Evernote for like the first few years of my business, and then I found Asana. It's like I found my true love,
Right.
Asana.
You're like, this is amazing. I'm gonna like totally outsource and repeat, and I can put deadlines, and I don't even have to think about what I need to do today because it's already like Asana just tells me because if I plug myself into the process.
No, totally. And I'm like learning. I'm becoming like a list maker freak. Like I'll have like pads of paper, and then I'll have my digital list. And I'm like, do I spend half my day creating lists? Like I have to actually do these things. But yeah, Asana has been an amazing tool, especially for managing my contractors and knowing when the jobs are done. And like, yeah, that's a big. It's been a big time saver for me, and just being organized is one of the biggest I mean, it's one of my biggest goals is to stay organized, but it's just a huge important factor when you're running a business, because you don't, I mean, I can get pretty sporadic and spacey, but like not when I have like a list that I'm going off of every day to manage my team and myself and my clients, and it's just super helpful.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So, is there anything else, any other like systems or tools that you use, either in your business to be efficient, but then also talking about the creative wandering, I don't know, brain sometimes, right? Like, are there,
Yeah.
what else do you do to put in systems to keep yourself focused?
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking a lot about in the new year. So yeah, I'm pretty routine. Like I'm just a really routine person. And so like I typically like wake up at the same time every day, like 7 a.m. Personally, like I need to get like a workout in or something, just because I have a lot of energy and it helps with my stress levels. So usually, like I try not to hop on the computer first thing, and it's been an issue for me. Like I just become, you know, I'm used to just like hopping right into work some days, and I'm like having to rein myself in and be like, no, like self-care is just as important. And so I try to like get my self-care, my gratitude journaling going on in the morning, like my workout in. I like to connect with friends and then, you know, take some deep breaths and like open up my computer. Sometimes I get scared. It's like I'm sometimes scared to check my email. It's like, do you ever feel that way? It's
Oh
like
yeah, there's definitely like I've gone through this period of phase of like I used to get really scared because I just felt so overwhelmed and drop like just heavy energy, and now I'm like starting to get through everything and putting in systems, but there are definitely like emails that come through and I'm like your stomach sinks 'cause you're like, "Wait, did I send that? Oh my gosh, did I forget to send it?" Like
I
yeah,
know.
no, I totally hear you. And then you're like scared, and then when you're scared of something, you resist to do it, and so you keep procrastinating it, or at least that's my case.
I know. Well, they say like do the thing that's the hardest first in your day. So
That's
like
right.
sometimes I take that philosophy.
Eat the frog.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, so after I kind of do me first, then I try to write out my to-do list the night before, just kind of to get my mind in the right direction, so I'm not like, you know, figuring out what should I do, because as a business owner, like there's a million things I could do like first. And so typically I think about like, all right, do I need to like, do I have more quotes to give today, or do I have to design, you know, more proofs for clients today? So I kind of strategically think through like what's going to be most important today. And honestly, I've just not overextended myself. Sometimes I try to do too much in one day, and then I end up feeling like drained and just not as productive. And I'm trying to tell myself that, hey, it's okay that you only did these things today, because like that's enough. And you also want to have space for the other amazing things in your life, like your friends and your family and cooking and cleaning, maybe.
Oddly though,
You
like sometimes that can be therapeutic and then it can be annoying.
know? Oh, totally.
Cleaning. I mean, like sometimes when I'm
Yeah.
really in it, like I don't love cleaning per se, but I definitely enjoy a good what is the word I'm looking for? Going through drawers, cleaning out the closets, like pur I love purging. Love, 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 love. Cleaning,
Oh my
meh.
gosh, I love purging too. Like, I don't know if it's like an Amanda thing or like
When's
there,
your birthday?
but it's like, then I'm like, oh, I got rid of all my jeans, so I guess I have to go buy new ones. So it's like, do I like purge to then buy new things? Sometimes I'm confused by my motives.
No, I totally get that for sure. Oh my God, now I just lost my train of thought. But
Now thinking about cleaning my closet out. Wait, I actually just did that, so I'm good.
there you
But
Yeah.
yeah.
What other software systems do you use? So you were talking about your finance. What system have you found to work for you?
For finance?
Yeah, for like keeping track of invoicing and money and things like that.
I mean, QuickBooks is what I use. And then I process orders either through I still process orders through Etsy or through Chase Bank. I have like my personal like I can take credit cards, so and that's a it's a lower processing fee than going through like Square or a lot of the other payment processing gateways. So that's just what works for me. So and all of my orders are just very different because I quote pretty much each client because each order is so custom. And so I'm usually going back and forth the client several times, sometimes setting up a phone call, and then once they approve the quote, then I'm like setting up the order and processing it through my own payment gateway.
Gotcha. What do you like aside from Asana? I mean, what other tools do you use on a daily basis to help you in your business and to perform and to operate at the utmost level, the highest level?
I mean, I mainly just use Asana. And I mean, for design, I use the Adobe Creative Suite. But yeah, Asana is that's my go-to. I do everything through there. And
That's what's working.
I
No.
wish I had other software tools for you, but
That's just
that's
how
fun.
amazing Asana is,
Yeah,
right?
we should do an infomercial
I
for Asana.
know, it's so crazy. Well, so let's talk in about like you as an individual and your growth in the business and how have you changed as a business owner in the past 7 years?
Oh man, gosh, do we have like all day? I mean, I'm from Southern California, and I moved to Portland 3 years ago. And I mean, moving to a new city is just a whirlwind experience. I was kind of in shock. I was like, I consider myself an outgoing person, but like, creating a community, and especially as an entrepreneur, like, in my opinion, being an entrepreneur is one of the most lonely and isolating places to be. Like you're not plugged into any community right away when you own a business. Like you have to put yourself out there constantly and find the people that you connect with. And when I first moved to Portland, I just kind of was friends with anyone who wanted to be friends with me, and that it doesn't mean they're your kind of, they're your people. So, it was a process of moving through people, not moving through them, but like, just saying goodbye to people that didn't really align with who I was or, my goals and morals and values, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know, I have kind of been on the self-discovery journey the past couple of years of just kind of, you sacrifice a lot when you start a business. I think I sacrificed, some relationships, my social life, and myself in a lot of ways, like getting to know who I really am and what kind of person I want to show up as in this world, and where I want to go, and how do I want to lead how to want to grow my business and show up for my clients and all of those things. So I started to kind of think about those things the past few years and realize I had a lot of work to do. So I feel like I've changed a lot in the sense that I'm just wanting to be happy, and I want everyone that works with me to feel joy and happiness that that comes through working with me. And yeah, just I mean, there's so much that I've learned. I don't even know where else to start.
What would you say was like the biggest lesson that you've learned in the past 7 years that maybe you could share that would resonate with the listeners tuning in terms of challenges or struggles?
Yeah, I would say like just start doing what you love and what you're passionate about, because passion and success, I believe, like they coexist. Like if you have passion, like the success will eventually come. I mean, I'm an example of it. Like I didn't have anything when I started. I just loved designing, and like the money ended up coming, but that wasn't my goal. I wasn't striving to have a successful business. I wasn't really striving for anything other than just to pursue something I was passionate about. And my biggest advice would just be to like, I don't think you need to have a business plan. I didn't. And like, I don't think you need to have it all figured out. I think you just start with what you know and what you love doing. And don't worry about what anyone else thinks. I think we care so much about, who, what someone will think if we try something new. But I think fear holds people back and holds me back, and I'm kind of like sick of it. It's like my new mantra is just like to be courageous, like try something new. Like what's the worst that can happen? So I'd say my biggest lesson is just to keep going and like find new ways to be inspired. It doesn't need directly within your field. That's something that I've also learned. Like, go outside, do something different. I started taking improv classes because I wanted to find a new creative outlet. It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
That it's so going back to the fear-based part, it's so true. And I know one of the things that it's a lot of it stems from is from our like childhood. And if we can like move those beliefs and thoughts about fears, especially when it comes to like what everyone else will think, because we spend our like entire life growing up in this tribe of people and that we're surrounded by. And when we try to go against it or do something different, it's like this thing that keeps pushing us down. So being able to get over the fear and just doing it. And I love how you said like inject more, like do different things. And while maybe like it doesn't seem that, not saying it is in your case, but improv, maybe it's like, oh, I could go to improv or I could be working on my business. But by going to improv and releasing your mind could actually create more creativity where you're actually going to perform better in your business because of that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just exciting to do something new. Like for me, I have like a block though. Like before, like it'll take me a while to sign up that new thing, but once I'm like doing it, I like feel this sense of like, wow, I'm like really living. Like this feels exciting. Like my heart beats differently. It's a weird feeling, but I just it's always like a reminder to me to like just say yes sometimes. Like go for it. Like, what do you have to lose? And I think, yeah, it's, I'm sick of letting fear get in the way, because I don't know. I don't want to live small. I want to show up big and whatever that looks like. And that means like fighting for yourself every day to like do the things that scare you. And it's super. That's like what life's all about,
It's like doing the things that when you get that nervous feeling, it's like, okay, I'm scared, which is a really great indication of, okay, just do it for sure.
Yeah, staying comfortable is so easy. we all like to be in like our houses, this, you know, super comfortable, but like there's no growth in comfort. And that's something that I learned when I moved to Portland, when I was super uncomfortable for I'd say like a couple of years.
Yeah, that's huge. That's such a big jump. And even like hearing you say that and talking about communities makes me feel inspired to like start something that all the listeners who are tuning in can grow and find other women in their communities and cities that they can meet and have that like network or that support system of other women who are doing it. Because you're right, entrepreneurship is definitely lonely and it can be extremely lonely at times, and you feel like you live in a silo. And even myself, I've caught it like in the past, thinking, okay, if I had someone else here, I could talk things out and not live inside my brain. But when you're one woman or man shop, it's definitely a little bit more challenging to think outside yourself, which is important to have communities.
Oh my gosh, yeah, community is huge. Like, I'll be the first to admit it. Like, I need support, and some days more than others. Like, I just need to talk to someone. That's why I have a therapist. But
Yeah,
besides,
for sure.
therapy has been huge for me. I mean, the past couple of years, I've been in therapy, and it's been an amazing, like, it's definitely a hard road. Like, I'm like, I like learning about yourself, but you really, like, I mean, I feel like I've become a different person the past couple years, because I've done like wanted to do that work to understand, you know, who I am. And that's also something that I think has leaked into my business, just like better understanding of who you are. And when you have that, and I think it's, you know, a continual journey. I don't think we ever stop, you know, learning about things about ourselves. But just kind of going on that journey for me has, I think, changed the way I run my business. I'm just a little bit more slow. Like, I'm not so much in a hurry to get everything done. Like, I value things differently, and I think I treat people differently, because the truth is that everyone's going through something. And it's just, I don't know, I've become a lot more compassionate and patient, I think, with myself and with other people, which I'm starting to, you know, love that part of me. And it's just been kind of a cool, unique experience for me to see that, because I've been working on myself, that I'm a different business owner as well than I was 7 years ago.
That is, I think that's a really great place to land the plane on that piece and to wrap up the interview on that and just knowing. And like, I love how you are so vulnerable to admit how having like not only compassion for others, but also compassion for yourself, because it's not an easy thing. And I think we all can relate. I mean, I always imagine I'm in a room with all the listeners when I do these interviews. So I can just imagine we're all like, yes, I need more compassion, not only for other people, but also for myself, and knowing that everyone that we encounter is fighting their own battle, and to have grace and empathy for just assume not just being just having grace for other people. So thank you. Two last questions for you. One is, what has been a book that has been extreme that has been influential in your life? It doesn't have to be a business book, it can be any book. And then share with my listeners where they can find out more information about you.
Oh man, I've become an avid reader the past couple of years, so that question just lights me up. Well, oh man, I have a few. Is that okay?
Yeah, go
A
for it.
few.
I love it.
Okay. I just finished up. I'm a huge Brené Brown fan.
Yes.
Braving the Wilderness, all about courage. Highly recommend. It's a really fast read. Super inspiring. It's just great. A business book that I've just am finishing up is High Performance Habits by,
Yes.
oh, you've heard of it?
I actually, so I think when your interview airs, so we're recording this today, but I just released, I'm doing a two-part series on the 6 habits of a SoloCast. But yeah, love it. It's
My
like,
God, he's amazing.
it's
I'm like
so
super
good.
obsessed with him.
I
Brendan,
know. I think
gosh.
I want to attend one of his events this year. I think two out of the three, I'm out. Like, one, I'm on my honeymoon, and the other one, I'm on a vacation later on. But no, one of my friends was in his, like, super high level mastermind group or something, and she was just raving about him and how much she enjoys him. But yeah, sorry, but that book, yes, I second that book. It is amazing.
Yeah, it's like, it's not only good for business, like it's just like good to be like a good person. Like the way he's like a male Brené Brown.
Yeah.
I'm literally like in awe with each chapter. Like I've been reading it in the mornings before like I start work, and I'm just getting like all my juices flowing. I'm like, damn, Brendan, you did it again.
Love it.
It's like, yeah. And then, oh gosh. I mean, I'm super into a lot of different things like health and fitness, but I'm trying to give, maybe I'll stop there. I don't know.
Well, if you think of one, and you're
just a quick read. I don't know how to say his name. It's like Thin Nat Chan. I don't know. Mm-mm.
What's the book?
Well, he has a series. Like they're these short reads. Like the one I'm reading right now is called How to Fight, and it's just like little excerpts, kind of just like daily. Like I don't know if you call it devotion, but like, you know, just looking inward book, but they're super short, like a paragraph long. So I like that just if you need a quick dose of inspiration or like a pick me up and it's not caffeine, then I recommend that. But I can like text you the name of the author because I don't think I said it right.
I will have the gal who does my show notes, maybe I'll just have her try and Google it and see if she can find it.
Yeah.
From the information that we got. So, well, this has been amazing. Amanda, can you share with my listeners where they can find out more information on you and your biz?
Yeah. So my business Instagram is Wide Eyes Paper Co. And then my business website is wideeyespaperco.com. And I'm also starting a lifestyle blog that is new. So that's more about the vulnerable stuff versus necessarily business stuff. And you can find that handle at Amanda Jane Franz. And that's pretty much, I think, all the ways you can find me. Or on Tinder. I'm just kidding. No.
If anyone's in Portland,
yeah. Send them out.
Oh my gosh, too funny. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with my listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.